This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same in Jesus' name. Amen. And I went old school on you, put my hand over my heart. Like David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. I didn't feel like messing up the page right here and closing it and opening it again. So that's why we went with that. All right. So y'all ready for the word? Amen. So today I want to remind you of a few things that Pastor James, to start out, has already declared and spoken over this year. Amen. He declared that this is the year that things change. We are moving forward in faith. This is our year of refreshing, recompense, and acceleration. Amen, amen. And so today, being our Supernatural Big Giving Day Sunday, we have set certain things in motion as a result of our giving. And the question that we want to consider today is, do we know what has been set in motion? When a farmer plants a seed, he knows what to do, and he knows what to expect. It's important that as each one of us leaves the building today, we know what to do and what to expect as a result of sowing. Amen. Simply, how giving works does not change. And we're going to start out in Genesis, the 8th chapter, the 22nd verse in the King James Version. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Powerful verse, does not change. How many of you agree that we are still here? All right, I don't think anybody's saying, nope, I'm not here. All right, so we're still here. The earth remains. Therefore, everything else in that verse remains in effect. The earth is still here. There's still cold and heat. We usually like the heat a little bit more than the cold, but there's still summer and winter. There's still day and night. And that means that a seed in the ground will still produce a harvest. When God asks you for a seed, he has a harvest in mind. I want you to remember that. When God asks you for a seed, he has a harvest in mind. And Pastor James, being my pastor, when I'm going through things, I often hear his voice. You hear the voice of your shepherd, like he's talking inside my head. That's the point of the word coming and faith being given, amen? And I always in my head hear him saying, giving is not losing, giving is gaining. And I want to look at three things today that highlight the benefits of giving. The benefits of giving. Number one, you set the supernatural law of sowing and reaping in motion. First thing that happens, it is a supernatural law. A law is something that works the same way, not once, but every single time. When you think about the law being the law of gravity, you know what goes up must come down. You don't see something go up and not expect it to come down. If it's a sport, if it's a quarterback throwing a football, if it's a batter hitting a baseball, when you see the ball airborne, you don't expect it to stay airborne because it's a law. There's no if. Sowing and reaping is a law. Luke 6:38 in the King James, it says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Love that verse, but I also want to look at it in the Passion Translation. The Passion Translation, it says, give generously, and generous gifts will be given back to you, shaken down to make room for more. Abundant gifts will pour out upon you with such an overflowing measure that it will run over the top. The measurement of your generosity becomes the measurement of your return. Do you ever buy a bag of chips, and by the time you open it up, you realize most of it was just air? It wasn't shaken down to make room for more. Two-thirds of that bag was air. Five chips in, I'm done, right? But the word says what God is going to do, he's going to shake it down so that there's room for more. Amen. There's only one word in that verse that is your responsibility, and it's my responsibility. The word give. Amen. Everything else that we read happens as a result of giving in faith. What we give comes back to us in abundance. And really, the main principle behind giving is this: God can do more for me than I can do on my own. God can do more for me than I can do on my own. Hallelujah. That gets me excited. Deb and I, we've always been givers. We've been married 20 years, headed toward 21 in September. And we've been givers since the time we got married. Amen. That's a good place to clap. Amen. Going to reach age 73. Going to reach marriage age 55 years. Right? Right? God is good. And I thank God for my wife because she helps me and she makes me who I am. Amen. God uses her and speaks to her. And you think I'm handsome because she dressed me. You see what I'm saying? So, like, without her, I need her to keep myself together. You know, so in a nutshell. As I was preparing for today, I was overwhelmed with emotion, just thinking about how good God has been to me, to Deb, to our family through the years. Just the amazing things that has happened. And I was talking to a brother recently, and I told him, I said, you know, God remains good. He don't stop being good just because you're going through something. No, in fact, it's his goodness that is going to help you get through whatever it is you are going through. So don't give up, no matter where you are today, because God's goodness is going to see you through. But as I was reading the scriptures and things, we've always been givers, been married 20 years, but really something happened 11 years ago that forever changed my perspective on giving. We were tithers, we were givers, we were doing what the Bible says. If I tried not to, Deb would make me. So it's either way, we're tithing and we're giving. Praise God, right? We got to obey the word. We can't get mad at our spouse if our spouse checks us with the word. Hello, somebody. That's a good thing. That's called help. That's called help. Amen. 11 years ago, I was in a men's meeting in Snow Hill. A lot of the strong men were there, and Pastor Chad Rowe, short little white pastor from Texas, has a real southern drawl, funny as all get out. He's spoken here, a good friend of Pastor James, but he's speaking, and he is coming from a verse that I don't believe I've ever read before that day. I don't really tend to, in the morning, look up the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel what? You know, so that's not really a very popular book if we're on, you know, it's not something you see on bumper stickers, you know, on magnets, Ezekiel. But that particular sermon, he was coming from Ezekiel, the 36th chapter and the 29th verse in the King James, where it says, I will also save you from all your uncleannesses, and I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. And Pastor Chad focused on this part of the verse. I will call for the corn and increase it. I will call for the corn and increase it. And it's like he wouldn't stop saying it. He just tell a funny story, then remind you. Tell another funny story, then remind you. So the seed, I want you to get this, the seed that I sow in obedience is multiplied, returned, and keeps me out of famine and lack. That's what Ezekiel is saying. The seed that I sow in obedience is multiplied, returned, and keeps me out of famine and lack. And that particular night at the men's conference, that was actually right before the big giving day in 2012. And you know how Pastor James is when he's talking about giving. He's going to stand up. He's going to boldly tell you what the word says, and your faith is going to rise. Well, that particular year, he says, Holy Spirit told me to double my seed. Not what I wanted to hear. I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, I see where this is going. And my flesh was like, nah, I'm good. I'm good. I had a good seed in mind, and that's what I'm going to stick to. Well, the Holy Spirit has a way of communicating so that we get it. So Pastor James has said that Sunday. Then we go to Snow Hill, and Pastor Chad is saying, God will call for the corn and increase it. So I'm sitting there convicted, knowing I really should have already talked to Deb about the fact that the Holy Spirit told us to double our seed. But if I said something to her, then I was committed to do it. And so I was holding out just a little bit, just in case the Lord might change his mind. Let me tell you, I'm talking about the battle between the flesh and the spirit. I'm not the only one in the room. Holy Spirit has told you to do something, and your first response is, I don't think so. Well, God had his way. That verse, that night, as I sat there, and I listened to Pastor Chad, in my heart, I had doubled the seed. In my heart, I had already given it. And by faith that night, I set in motion the law of sowing and reaping. God knew that I was going to follow through. And so that very night, he trusted me with an avenue of increase. We get back home. It's late, very late. Deb's already asleep. I'm a man of ritual. I kind of do the same thing every night before I go to bed. Yes, I do brush my teeth and all that kind of stuff. But I'm not talking about that. I have like my devotions and things that I do, little things I do. And one of the things I've always done, don't know why, I've done it for as long as I can remember, not stopping after what happened here, is I would read the news. I wouldn't turn the TV on, but I would read the news because, you know, Deb's asleep. The kids are finally asleep, so the house is quiet. I don't want nobody to hear nothing, and somebody might wake up. We don't want to do that, okay? So I'm reading this article on CNN about this one family, this adoptive family that have received a huge check from the IRS. It was like $50,000. And I'm reading the article, and I'm just like, okay, you know, kind of tired, sleepy. But I'm thinking, Lord, is there anything in this for us? Because, I mean, Deb and I, we're the proud parents of 5 adopted girls. And they're amazing, let me tell you. They are amazing human beings. They just bless my life. And, you know, another adoptive family that we met, the dad was talking to me. He said, I know what you're doing. You're selfish. Because it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And the blessing that each one of them has been to our lives has been absolutely astounding. So I'm reading this article on CNN. Deb is asleep. So I'm starting to get a little bit excited. I'm like, okay, maybe there's something here. Nudge Deb, try to get her to wake up. I'm like, babe, look, check this out. She's just like, yeah, rolls over, falls back asleep. No help at all. So to make a long story short, that night I found out about a government program that was going to help our family. After I committed in my heart that it is good as done, I already gave that seed. All right, so here's the deal. We had already filed our taxes. So I had to file an amended return and provide all sorts of receipts to the IRS. Oh, my goodness, the IRS, I'm sending you a briefcase full of receipts. But the reality is this. We got back every dollar that it cost, every legal fee, every government fee to the U.S., to the Haitian government, every application fee. 3 months after we filed that amended return, we get a check for $27,000. Amen. God is good. This is a faith walk. I didn't know that when I was shelling out all this money. I didn't know that. A year later, get another check for the same amount, $27,000. So God gave me access to information that I didn't have before I sowed my seed. In my heart, I had already given it. So you know for sure, I saw that. I'm like, hey, shoot, we giving that seed. We didn't have no security. I'm like looking at dollar, man, we giving now. I don't care if Deb's a seed. We'll talk about it in a moment. We giving. I want you to know today that God is already working with the seed you have sown. Your seed has not left your life. It has only left your hand. It's already traveling into your future, preparing a harvest and waiting on your arrival. Everything God does, he does on purpose. Everything he does on purpose. In other words, God gives us specific opportunities to give so that we can set the law in motion. He's like, I want to do something. But I need you. I can't set the law in motion. God can't set the law in motion for us. We set it in motion. Luke 6:38. God's not telling himself to give. He already gave Jesus. When he's saying give, that is, in English, we would say that the subject is understood. Where'd that come from? I don't know. English class years ago. But there's a you there, right? It's not written there, but saying you give. You and I give. So the first benefit of giving is you set the supernatural law of sowing and reaping into motion. Praise God. Number two, the second benefit of giving is that cheerful giving attracts favor to your life. Cheerful giving attracts favor to your life. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 9, chapter 9, verses 6 to 8 in the Women's Translation. Classified Women's Translation. In the Amplified. All right, here we go. Remember this. He who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. And he who sows generously, that blessings may come to someone, will also reap generously and with blessings. Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or to do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt-to-do-it giver whose heart is in his givings. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Powerful passage. Favor includes money, but sometimes money isn't what we need. So favor is more than money. In 2 Kings 4, you can read that on your own time, but there's a story about a Shunammite woman. And she is described in the Bible as a wealthy married woman. She had a room constructed for the prophet Elisha so that he could stay in that room whenever he traveled in town. She was impressed and knew that he was a man of God, and she wanted to sow that seed into his life to make sure he was comfortable because he carried the word. She was barren. She didn't have a financial need, but she was barren. And favor showed up as a result of her giving, and she was able to have a son. When you read that passage, sometimes you need favor more than money. And when you look at Luke 6:38, which we read earlier, after the give, everything else is something that God's going to do, right? Well, look at what it says in there. All right? Men giving into your bosom, that's favor. God raising people up to help you. It's not always, it's favor. Amen? Hallelujah. One time, I was in between jobs, and we needed somewhere to stay. You know, sometimes leases don't run out at the same time one job ends and another begins necessarily, right? Just different things can happen at the same time. So we found ourselves in the position of needing a place to live, but at that time I didn't have a job. So at that moment, money would have been, you know, more money, I certainly would have taken it, but what I really needed was a place to live. So the landlord, go fill out the application, go fill out the paperwork, and I'm honest with her, say, I don't have a job. And she says, it's all right, you'll get one. Okay, she knows he ain't got no job. And she had to sign the lease. She's like, I like you. You'll find a job. I'm like, Amy, yes, yes, I will find a job in Jesus' name. So that's favor, y'all. So when you hear phrases like, I don't normally do this, but tune in your ear because some favor about to show up, stuff that don't make sense. Landlords don't give leases to people that don't have jobs. They don't do that. They make you sign and all kinds of stuff in there. You got to initial. I don't read all that anyway. I just want to give me the keys. I got to move in, right? Well, anyway, giving, listen to this, y'all. Giving is a faith declaration that my trust is in God and not in this world system. That's good right there. Giving is a faith declaration that my trust is in God and not in this world system. And that's a question that only each one of us can answer for ourselves. Where am I placing my trust? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 in the King James, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. When it comes to giving, I must be willing to ask myself the question, am I leaning to my own understanding or am I leaning to him? You see, money is a good servant, but a bad master. I can't be led by just money. I must be led by the Spirit based on God's word. That's my job as a believer, to be led by the Spirit based on God's word. So God ain't going to tell you to be led by the Spirit to not give. No, he's not. He's not going to do that because the Spirit and the word will work with each other and say the same thing. Amen? All right. So the benefits of giving. Number one, the first benefit of giving, you set the supernatural law of sowing and reaping into motion. Number two, second benefit of giving is that cheerful giving attracts favor to your life. And number three, my last point, giving opens the door to a better life. Giving is a doorway. Amen. When you deal with yourself, Like I had to deal with myself over doubling that seed when I already had it all figured out. I'm a numbers guy. I had it all. This is perfect. We can give this. I don't even feel it. God sometimes wants me to feel it. Sometimes I've got to go above and beyond what I originally think because he's trying to do above and beyond what I can imagine. So I've got to give an above and beyond seed to get some above and beyond results. Amen. Proverbs 11, 24, 25. In the Message translation, I like the Message. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. Powerful. So giving is an essential ingredient between where you are right now and continual manifestation of the life God promised. God didn't just want what happened to us in 2012 to be, oh, that's great, that's nice, that's awesome. But then 2013 showed up. But that was 2012's testimony. That was good for 2012. But God wants to do something now. And so I've got to make it up in my mind that this giving thing is going to be a way of life. Because when I make it a way of life, it's not a drop. It's not a trickle. It turns into a flow. It might take some time for it to begin to work. But once you got it working, keep sowing to keep the momentum building. Praise God. Because giving propels you toward your destiny. That's what it does. Let's look at Psalm 126, 4-6 in the Message. And now, God, do it again. Bring rain to our drought-stricken lives so those who planted their crops in despair will shout yes at the harvest. So those who went off with heavy hearts will come laughing with armloads of blessings. And I just see that image in my mind. You've seen Pastor James when he does his images with the Bibles everywhere and with the suitcases everywhere. Well, imagine that being like armloads of blessings. Things you can't contain. Things you're wearing yourself out to try and carry because it's more. It's like the nets that broke. Amen. So much abundance, so much surplus that you need help to count it all. Praise God. That's what God has in store for his people. But when God asks us for a seed, he has a harvest in mind. I can't trip over the seed. And so the key to faith development is feeding my faith when my flesh doesn't like it. That's the key to faith development. Your flesh is not going to like this for a little while. But that's okay. I'm not living by my flesh. Amen. I'm living by the Spirit. I'm a child of God. Amen. So I'm led by the Spirit of God. Powerful video from Pastor James earlier, right? He was sharing in the video that we need to write down three things that we're believing for as we have given in faith today. Debt-free 23. Years ago when the girls were small, that was always something that was very important to me, is that they would enter their adulthood debt-free. You know, growing up, we didn't have a lot. Ellen in the sound booth, what's up? She can verify that. We didn't have a lot. But one thing that we'll never forget that our dad did for us, regardless of the multicolored cars he drove and stopping to put more oil in the car, he came up with a plan and made sure that Ellen and I left college debt-free. And I'll never forget, I didn't know if I was going to get to class some days because my dad was giving me a ride and I didn't know if it was going to make it there. But he had a plan for us to leave college debt-free. And that was something that was just in my heart. And so 2012, we start sowing for our girls debt-free. Debt-free. Very important to me. I know what it's like to be a young person and have plenty of bills. Not college bills, other dumb bills that I created and shouldn't have. But anyway, that's another story for another time. Okay, but debt freedom was so important. So our oldest daughter, Etesi, she graduated from UNC Charlotte debt-free. Bachelor's degree debt-free. We sowed, we declared, we spoke. We sowed, we got a scripture, and we spoke. Three of our girls, Ta, she's hosting right now, Ta, Felicia, and Sia all bought cars cash. Amen? It's possible. Every year we've given on a big giving day. Lizzie, our youngest, I don't know if she's in the building right now or if she's in a kid's classroom. She's in the back, my baby. Yes, beautiful as always. That's my buddy. To get her education needs met, she got approved for a $23,000 education grant for this year and the next 3 years per year. Debt free. Don't think it's not possible, because it's possible. Okay? She needed a certain type of education, and we pursued it without the finances, relying on our seed to arrive before we did. And it did. $23,000. I mean, that's something. The one school she goes to costs a bunch of money in Greenville, a whole bunch of money. It's like college education all by itself. But she's making progress. God is doing it. God is watching over his word to perform it in her life. And amazing things are taking place. So I want you to get a hold of that today, where Pastor James said, uncommon, unusual, and unexplainable favor belongs to you. So I'm going to conclude, but I want to highlight what Pastor James asked us to do. Three things. Number one, write down three things that you're believing for. Do this. Put the effort in to do this. And maybe you gave and you didn't have three things yet. Okay, pray about it, you know, and get three things. Number two, get a couple scripture verses to stand on that match what you want. All right. Number three, speak over your seed on a daily basis. This is how this works. And we've done it. I mean, I remember, you know, when you move, you have a room where you put everything that you don't want to see until you're ready to kind of see, you know, room, all the boxes. The house looks great except for this one room. So we were cleaning out after. I didn't even get to my house testimony. I don't have enough time for all these testimonies, people. Okay, so that's another whole testimony. But in the room, we were finally going through some stuff, and I found these confessions that we did. I mean, I ended up knowing them by heart from 2012 on, debt-free for our girls. Debt-free for our girls. Sowing little by little, and it happens. And that's going to be you. When you do these three things, that's you. God don't love me any more than he loves you. Faith levels the playing field. What he's done for one, he will do for another. You just got to get in faith and work the process. So write down three things that you're believing for. Number two, get a couple scripture verses to stand on. And number three, speak over your seed on a daily basis. Do you receive that word today? Amen. Would you give God a hand of praise? Amen, amen. At this time, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We definitely don't want to leave here today without giving the opportunity for some to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. We don't want any of the harvest to be lost. Some folks need to move because they need to get to their serving positions, but if you're not moving, please bow your head with us and pray. Maybe you're here today in the building, or maybe you're online watching and you just happen to stumble upon what you thought was a stumble, but God wanted you to see this live broadcast so that you could give your life to Christ. I'm going to give you that opportunity in just a minute. Personally, I know Jesus is the best thing that's ever happened to me. Romans 10 and 9 teaches us that if we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. So if you're in the room and you can hear my voice, you're online, you can hear my voice, God might just be speaking to you. You could be in a position where you made a commitment to Christ, but some things happened and maybe you drifted, made some mistakes, and you're feeling condemned and, you know, over some of the things that have happened. I want you to know that God is not mad at you. He's not mad at you. He's not upset, and he hasn't walked away from you. God loves you very much. Maybe you're a Christian and you simply need to repent. A Christian, as Christians, we do mess up. We make mistakes. And so we need to make repentance something we do all the time. If we repent, he's faithful and just. Repentance doesn't put us at the back of the line. It just puts us back in line. Or maybe you've watched this service today and been a part of this service today, and you are looking for a good church home. We believe and know that the church you go to and the word you hear, it makes a difference. We know that it is the will of God for every person to be saved and know Jesus for themselves as their personal Lord and Savior. So if you're going to make a decision to be saved today, to rededicate your life or to join the church, please use the connection cards that you see in the seat pocket in front of you. If you're in the building and online, they'll put it in the caption. It's also in the link above. These connection cards are for you to communicate with us so we know that your spiritual needs have been met today. Whatever platform you're joining from, you should see a connection card there. Also, if you have prayer requests, please feel free to turn those in as well. You end up being prayed for on a weekly basis. Every request is kept confidential, and we go before the Lord with your individual prayer request. If you're in the room, just take a moment after service, if you don't finish it before, to fill it out in its entirety, and then just go ahead and make sure you put it in the offering bucket in the rear, or give it to an usher, and they'll get it to the right place.
I want everybody to pray this prayer. You may have already prayed this prayer plenty of times, but if you're in the room and online, please repeat this prayer after me. It simply might just help the person next to you. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior, and from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. You have nothing to do with me, and I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Lord, he's my Savior, and I'll always serve him. Now, Father, we give you praise right now for what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a hand of praise?